Thank you, Mr. Gray, for that kind welcome and also the invitation to be present at the harvest tonight. Always like the harvest season. Nice to be back in Bethel again. And indeed, I can remember that time the church was open around 40 years ago. Time has flown by so rapidly. Lovely to be with you. We're turning to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. And we're beginning to read at the latter part of the chapter. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 14. Revelation 14 and verse 14. And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. We'll end our reading there at the end of the chapter, and with God's word open at that place, let's unite our hearts together in prayer. And as we come to pray, let each one of us ask the Lord specifically that the Lord would speak to me individually and personally. What a prayer that would be for you to pray now. Lord, speak to me as the preaching of the word takes place. And then ask him to make you willing to obey the word that he brings. Father, we pray too that thou would give to the preacher the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God. We thank thee for thy word, and we ask that in the very reading of it, there will be a grip upon us, that we know that this is no ordinary book that we have read together and heard read, but this is the living word of the living God, the inerrant word of the one who is the truth. And as we come to deal with the matter that these verses are treating off, we pray that thou will give wisdom and grace and power, the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would speak to me even as I preach, and that I would be obedient to thy word, and that all of us tonight will respond to the word of the Lord in the appropriate manner that will bring honor and glory and pleasure to thyself. Again, grant the power of the Holy Spirit. And for the remaining minutes of this service, we pray that we'll know that we've been face to face with God. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're coming to the end of that period of the year known as the harvest. We have seen the change in the leaf. The greenness has given way to, in some instances, an orangey, yellow, golden, brown colour. It'll change a bit before it finally drops off. The fields have been worked at. We have seen the result of that. And we have also noticed around the part of the country where I come from, the orchards are having been worked at. The machinery has been busy. And in church buildings like this and in mission halls, we can see all over at the harvest services the indications and the display that you have tonight indicating the goodness of God to us again in the land of the living. This is what the harvest reminds us of. And the harvest also would remind us of the veracity of God's word. Because way at the beginning of the Bible, at least in the days of Noah, after the world had been destroyed by a flood, we learn that whenever Noah got out of the ark eventually, the Lord says, I'll not destroy the world anymore by a flood. And he went on to say, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night, would not cease. So the very fact that we're having harvests year after year is a witness to the veracity of the word of God. So every time you see the harvest, if you're alive for the harvest next year, and take a good look at it being gathered in this year, just say, that reminds me of the truth of God's word. But it also reminds us of other things. For instance, whenever we see the harvest, always remember, whenever those golden sheaves or the grain is being reaped, that months earlier, the seed had to be planted in the ground. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4, in a certain parable, that we have the history of the seed. Whenever it was sown in the ground, the sower went away, never bothered with it again, couldn't do anything more, it was out of his hands. But under the ground, forces were at work by the divine initiation. And then after some months, there was a little green sheen above the ground. And then the stooks came, the ear came, the full corn in the ear. And then whenever the appointed season came, the farmer would have gone into the fields and cut down the grain. And that tells us something of the history of, in type and parable of God's word. When it's sown in the life of a person through the preaching of the word of God or through a Christian witnessing to somebody, something is taking place in that life. And by, if the seed has fallen on good ground, there will be the harvest time whenever that person will be wonderfully converted. Oh, there's so much metaphor, so much imagery of a harvest flavor in the Bible indicating a great truths. For instance, just before I leave this part, think of this, that for all of what you see tonight here on display, there had to be seed sown in some particular form or other. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you and I sow day by our words, by our actions and by our attitudes, and one day we're going to reap all of that. Possibly even in this life, and if not, definitely in the next. Because the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But I want to come tonight to this reading, because it's a harvest picture here. In fact, there's another aspect of the harvest. You have the harvest and you have the vintage. You have the harvest of the grain, and then you have the harvest of the grape. And what does all of this indicate? Well, it indicates, and again I'm referring to the harvest imagery, it indicates of the state of affairs on this earth when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to it again. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth again. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we want to look at these words of the book of Revelation chapter 14 that we've been looking at together here from verse 14 down to the end. And notice the harvest of the grain and the harvest of the grape. Let's take first of all the harvest of the grain. This is a joyful harvest. And I believe that what we're seeing here is the harvest as it concerns the individual Christian. But this will become clear, I trust, as we go along. I want you to notice three things about this joyful harvest. First of all, there is the representation of it. What's it representing here? Well, we're told it's the harvest of the earth And this is very important for us to understand at the end of verse 15. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. What is that? Well, you know, in the harvest season, generally speaking now, there's the wheat and there's the chaff. Sometimes in the Bible called the wheat and the tares. Now, the wheat is that which the farmer wants and that we need if we're going to live, because bread and food is made out of that. The chaff or the weeds or the tares are of no count, just fit for the burning. But the grain that has been sown and has brought forth the wheat or the barley, the corn or whatever form the grain is, that's the stuff whereby our food is prepared from. Now, we need not turn to it, but I believe that what we're seeing here in Revelation 14 has also been talked about by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 13. He told the story in parabolic form of a certain man that went out to sow seed. And some malicious person came and he sowed tares with the seed. And the man's servant said, whenever the crop was beginning to take shape, he says, "You know what's happened? Somebody has sown tares among the wheat." And the man says, "Well," he said, "an enemy hath done this." But he says, "Let both grow to the time of harvest. Because if you start trying to differentiate now, you'll pull up the wheat with the tare." And that's the way things were. They grew together and they were alike until the time of the harvest came. And then it became more obvious which was the real thing and which was the sham, the wheat and the tares. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, the field where the seed was sown was the earth. The man that sowed the seed is me, the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man. The enemy is the devil. The seed that was sown are Christians. The tares that were sown are the children of the wicked one. The harvest is the time whenever the reaping takes place at the end of the world, the end of the age. And he says, I'll be gathering out of the field the grain, and I'll be putting it in to the garner. That's a picture of heaven. The chaff. Why, the angels will come forward and do that, and they'll tie them up into bundles, and they will consign them to the earth. But at any rate, the point is, ladies and gentlemen, for now, the Lord Jesus is the sower, and he is sowing the good seed of the word, the seed of the gospel, as the word is preached in services week by week and day by day, and we want to be thankful for that. And I trust and I pray, as I have often, that men and women who hear the gospel will turn out to be the grain, and that whenever the reaping time takes place, that they will be the Lord's own, and they'll be brought home to be with him whenever the end of the world comes. The end of the age will come, and not be as the chaff, or as we'll see in a moment, like the grain. But notice something else, not only the representation of the harvest, but the ripening of the harvest. Let's read again in verse 15. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. It has been ripening all along. What does this mean for us? It means that the number of the saved, the number of the redeemed, the number of the elect, the number of the chosen, the number of all of those who have turned from their sin and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ has now been completed. The last one has been gathered in. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter and the others on one occasion, I will build my church. And whenever he is the last stone in the temple, whenever the last sheaf has grown in the harvest field of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ will deem it to have ripened fully, and then he will come for it. I want to ask you the question tonight, my dear hearer. Are you one of the Lord's? Whenever this reaping takes place, will you be of the wheat or the chaff? or the other figure we're going to look at, the vine of the earth. But let me say something else. Not only will the number of the saved be completed, but God's purpose for the Christian on earth will have been completed. Collectively for the church. God's church is in the world tonight for a purpose. And let me say this. God's main concern, if I can use that word of God, is for his church. All the governance of the nations, all his sovereignty over the nations, all his ruling of the world is revolving around his purpose for his church. And let me add this too, for Israel one day. And all of the nations of the world are running their course as it serves God's purpose for his church and for his ancient covenant people. And let me add to that, that no longer will we be vulnerable. No longer will the church be subject to the dangers, trials and sorrows it encounters. Just the way the seed is sown in the ground, depends on the light, depends on the heat, depends on the sun, depends on the rain. And at times the chills and frosts of winter lay hold upon it. And it's hard put to grow through all of that and become the harvest time that we associate with such. And God's people will be like that. And God's church will be like that. Sometimes it's on fire in revival blessing. Other times it's cold and frigid and deathly. The tide, to use another metaphor, has gone out. But through it all, God's purpose will be fulfilled. Until that time, whenever the ripening will take place. But this adds, or brings us to a third thing that I want to add. Not only the representation of the harvest, not only the ripening of the harvest, but there is the reaping of the harvest. Notice verse 16. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. This is a vision that John is having. Remember that. John, who is the author of the book of the Revelation under the Holy Spirit, he has received a series of visions. And this vision, as we've already noted, is dealing with the end of this age whenever the harvest of the godly is gathered in. Now notice first of all about this reaping, the glorious person by whom it is reaped. Notice this verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? The Lord Jesus Christ. Different times he called himself that in the Gospels. Look at the adornment of him here. Having on his head a golden crown, there's sovereignty, there's glory, there's might and power and victory. What a picture John has seen and has presented to us. The Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lord of glory, sitting on a cloud with a glorious crown upon his head and this sickle in his hand. Now, grain's not harvested these days by a sickle, but the sickle was the usual way for centuries that the grain had been cut down. So the picture is dealing with as it was in the times then, but presenting this truth at the end of the age. What a picture then of the Lord Jesus. And we read in Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face and praise him for his grace. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, the Christian has that to look forward to. There is the glorious person by whom this harvest is reaped. There's the momentous period when it will be reaped. I've already looked at it from one aspect, that is in the completion of the church. But if you read the book of Revelation, in fact, later on in these chapters, you'll find that before this happens, for about a 7-year period, and particularly the second part of that period, a 3.5-year period, there's going to be consternation on the earth. There's going to be terrible tribulation. There's going to be the wrath of God unleashed. There's going to be powers at work in the world. Antichrist will come to the fore. He'll dupe many, many people. And the Jewish people themselves are going to suffer immensely. And then at that time, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back. What a time it will be. A momentous period by a glorious person. What we're seeing here that will take place at the end of this age, as we see it in Revelation 14, is just talked about in other parts of the Bible. For instance, in Matthew 3, verse 12, John the Baptist was preaching. And John said to the scribes and Pharisees, you come out to hear him, said you should flee from the wrath to come. Because the Lord is going to do a winnowing work. It's going to be a reaping and a winnowing. The chaff's going to be blown away. And he says in Matthew 3, verse 12, he will gather his wheat into the garner. In Matthew 13, verse 30, the Lord Jesus said, gather the wheat into my barn. In verse 43 of that 13th chapter of Matthew, the Lord says, the righteous shall shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. My dear friend, what we're looking at here in Revelation 14 concerns the Christian. But what about you tonight who honestly know, although you may not want to acknowledge it, but you know you're not a Christian? You're going to miss this. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to hold any joy for you, but rather terror and a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Would you not tonight turn from your sin and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be wonderfully converted? You say, well, how do I do that? Simply acknowledge to him that you're a sinner. Realize that he's telling the truth when he says you're on your way to hell, to be eternally separated from him. Realize the truth of the gospel, that God has loved you so much that he has sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for you. Such a horrible death on the cross at Calvary. When he suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And that if you turn from your sin in repentance and at the same time exercise faith in Christ, he'll save your soul. He'll do much more. He'll save your soul. He'll forgive all your sins. He'll come to live in your life by his Holy Spirit. He'll accompany you every moment of the day. He'll be your shepherd, your savior, your friend, your guide, your master. And then whenever you come to die, if you die before this harvest that we're looking at takes place, he'll be with you in that dark valley of the shadow of death. He'll convey you safely over into heaven. Or if you're alive on the earth, whenever these things will take place, you'll have nothing to fear, knowing that the day is coming very soon. You'll know it at that particular time, that the Lord is coming back to take you to be with himself. Make sure that you're part of the harvest grain. But very quickly, let me bring you to the second picture we have here. This is the harvest of the grape, or the vintage of the grape. Notice verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in the sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So you get a different picture here, but it's a harvest theme. And the angel, verse 19, thrust in a sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth. So it's cut down now. And cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. The city here is Jerusalem. And blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, 200 miles, that is. That's approximately the length of Israel from its northern extremity to its southern extremity. Now, there are two things I want you to notice about this harvest of the grape. First of all, the gathering of the vintage. It's called the vine of the earth. Notice first the people who are involved. The angels are doing this. Now, I want to refer you back to Matthew 13, because the Lord Jesus said that he would send his angels to do this. And the angels would gather the unconverted and tie them up like the chaff, or tie the chaff up and burn it with fire. And the Lord says, that's a picture of the unconverted who are going to be burned with unquenchable fire. And that's what we have in the Bible about hell. Fire that never goes out. So the angels are going to do this. You'll notice here in verse 18 that there's another angel here that's got power over fire. You remember the fire there was in Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember the fire that there was in Egypt? An angel? Was there an angel reserved for that who had the special commission to see that? Could well have been. But certainly there's an angel in charge of fire, and he now is speaking to the other angel here. And he says to this angel with a very loud cry, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth. You can see the angels involved in this vintage. When does it happen? Well, if you notice the word in verse 18, the very first word, and another angel came out from the altar, which had power over the fire. So all of this is going to happen very quickly. The Lord is going to come back, and he's going to personally see to the harvest. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them that are asleep. We shall join with them and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's linked so closely just after this reaping of the grain of Christ taking care of his children. And I've already mentioned to you about the situation with Antichrist and with the man of sin and the situation of Israel. All of this is going to happen so quickly. And what we're seeing is the gathering of the vintage. I want to bring you back to a part in the Old Testament that I believe has got to deal with this. Would you turn, if you've got your Bible, very quickly to Isaiah chapter 63. And what we're seeing here is the Lord Jesus Christ's involvement in this. I want to read with you the first four verses of Isaiah 63. If you haven't got a Bible, I want you to listen very carefully. Who is he, or who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? Here's the vintage of the grape. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. This is what we're seeing here. I want you to notice not only the gathering of the vintage, it's cut down now. It's cut down. Grapes, the clusters, are taken off the vine. Where are they brought to? They're brought to the wine press. And what happens in the wine press? Well, in olden times, when they were put in the wine press, the people then come in and they tramped all over the grapes and got the juice squeezed out of them, and the wine fell into the vats below. And this is a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do with the ungodly. And also that part of Israel who rejected him. Israel was called the vine. But notice lastly, not only the gathering of the vintage, notice the disposing of it there in verse 19 and the end of that verse. We'll read the whole verse, Revelation 14, verse 19. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles. That's about 4 feet high. Now remember, it's a vision, John saying. But what he's telling us is this, that what's going to happen to that apostate part of Israel who does not repent, as well as with the earth, they're going to suffer the ire, the wrath, the indignation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will use people to do his will. It leads us on to another subject, and I don't want to go down that road, but I have to say it here. In the book of Joel, chapter 3, you have this very picture played out. There's going to be the gathering of nations at Armageddon. And then they're going to proceed to the Valley of Jehoshaphat outside Jerusalem's walls, the Kidron Valley. The Valley of Decision, as Joel calls it. And the cry comes to put in the sickle. And the nations of the world that have been brought there to attack Jerusalem, after they have done their deadly work on that part of Jerusalem that refused to call, that part of the nation of Israel that refuses to call upon the Lord, and the remnant realize that Christ is the Messiah as he comes back to earth, and a nation is born in a day, outside that city, the blood of Israel and Christ's enemies is going to spread. And let me say this. What the symbolism in Revelation 14 indicates is, not only is the land going to be affected in it, but the whole of the earth that has rejected Christ the Savior is going to be terrible punishment. You remember how it was said elsewhere, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Men and women, it's time to get saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Is that how it is with you? How many harvests have you set in like this throughout your lifetime? And yet, you're still unrepentant, still hardening your heart, going merrily on your way without a care or concern. I'm sure you know that you could die before the next harvest season comes. Now, while there is time, Mr. Gray chose that hymn, "Why not, why not, why not tonight? Why not trust them now?" Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. And your soul in hell be lost. Would you not be in time? The Savior is waiting to be gracious. He's waiting to be merciful to you. Oh, I urge you, I appeal to you, get to Christ tonight. Trust him, and you'll find there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Let's bow together in prayer. Keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Just for a moment, I'm going to hand back to Mr. Gray and he'll close the service. But as we're bowed before the Lord in prayer, should there be anyone here tonight and you've given this thought, maybe you've been thinking about it long before tonight, would you not settle it tonight? Where you sit in your seat, you can ask the Lord to save you and he'll do it. Where you sit in your seat. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you mean it with all your heart, that you're turning from your sin and putting your trust in Christ, he'll save you. If you will call on him, would you let Mr. Gray and myself know after the service? Or if you'd like to wait behind and talk to any of us, it'll be our pleasure to speak with you and point you to Christ. Don't leave the church tonight without being sure that you're part of the harvest grain And when the Lord comes back, or if you die first, you'll be with him in heaven forever. Flee from the wrath to come, and flee to Christ, to no one else. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Write it on our hearts. It's been solemn, maybe not easy to listen to, but oh God, let us hearken to it and bring men and women to Christ, girls and boys, this night.